bow for a word of prayer. If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment, would you ask the Lord from your heart? Ask the Lord from your heart and say, Lord, do a work in my heart tonight. Would you say that? Do a work in my heart tonight. Secondly, would you say, Lord, help the preacher to preach the message exactly as you'd have him to tonight. You might say filled with the Spirit. Something means controlled completely with the Spirit. And lastly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, we want everything to bring praise and honor and glory to you. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. What do you remember in life as the hardest news that you ever received? As you think back in your life, what do you think was the hardest bit of news that you ever received? That your mother passed? Anyone else like to share? You don't have to, but anybody like to share some of the hardest news that you ever received? Out of the blue. A common thread that runs through all of them that were mentioned tonight is death, right? I know there's other bad news that we can get. We can get a bad report from the doctor. We can get bad news about someone else's health, or bad news about a relationship, or bad news financially. But I think probably about the hardest bad news that we can get is the death of a loved one or a friend or someone that we're close to. Tonight we're going to look at, we've been talking about the toughest or the hardest. Tonight, the hardest news. Do you realize that the Lord Jesus got this news more than once, but we're going to look at it. One of them, of course, was Lazarus. He knew that Lazarus had died, and he brought him back to life. But there was another time that he got some bad news about actually a relative of his dying. And we're going to look tonight, how should we handle that hardest bit of news? How should we handle it? You know, if we look at Jesus and how he handled it, we probably get a pretty good idea of how we should handle that, right? Because as we say, really, dying is as much a part of life as living. And I'm talking about laying down this old body. From the moment we're born, I believe we start heading toward the finish line, if you will, with this old body. Tonight, the hardest news, and we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 14. We're going to be looking at a few verses, jumping around a little bit. We could spend a lot of time looking, because there's some really interesting stories around this story. We could look at the situation that caused the death of this friend and relative of his. But we're really focused on, and I know you may not believe this, but I may actually be a little bit shorter tonight than usual. But we're going to focus in on how did Jesus handle the worst news that you can get about a friend or a loved one. Now, I realize that you say, well, they're a Christian. That's not bad news. I understand what you're saying, but especially if it's unexpected, it's a shock. And everyone would say, this is really tough. But how did Jesus handle that? As the Son of God, as God himself, as man incarnate, God incarnate as a put on flesh like this, 100% God and 100% man. Matthew chapter 14, we're going to be looking at verses 12, 13, and 14 first of all, okay? Matthew 14, we're going to be looking at verse 12. It says, and his disciples came and took up the body. Now, you got to read a little bit before this. Again, I want to stay pretty focused tonight instead of spreading our thoughts in a lot of different directions. What body is this? This is the body of John the Baptist. Remember how Herod and the whole situation there, that's what's related in the preceding verses. So they beheaded John the Baptist. they put his head in a platter or on a like a platter, a thing with a cover on it, and he had died. And it says his disciples came, that's the disciples of John, and took up his body and buried it and went and told Jesus. Now, if we're not careful, we'll forget that Jesus was 100% human, right? So we just say, well, he's God. So this is, you know, this is, didn't hit him very hard. I think it hit him pretty hard. I think, remember, he had a pretty good relationship, was actually related to John the Baptist. They were cousins. And remember, Jesus came to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist baptized Jesus, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." So there was a relationship there. He was called, what was John the Baptist called in Scripture? What was he called? The blank of Christ, the forerunner of Christ, okay? The one who went before Jesus to prepare the way. He preached a baptism of repentance. He was a man that stood strong, a man that called the Pharisees what they were, and prepared the way for Christ, even a relative. And here Jesus gets the word that he is dead. Now, you know, you kind of got to think about that a little bit, because he was also 100% God. How much he knew of that already, but his disciples came, and as far as this world goes, he got word through them. Okay, so let's see what happened. In verse 13 it says, "When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities." So he's trying to get away. At this point, he's trying to find a solitude place, a place of quiet, peace, because he'd been doing a lot of miracles and people were following him around. But did he get any rest at this point? If you look at Scripture, it says that Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. So the people had heard, verse 13, that the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the city. So he was trying to get away. It seems like he probably got into a ship and was on the northern part of the Sea of Galilee and was trying to get away. But yet these people followed him on the shore because they knew that he'd do miracles and stuff. So he wasn't even able to get away, was he? If you look at this, the hardest news, how did Jesus handle it? Number one, if you look at verse 14, when he saw the multitude, notice what he did. He was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Jesus still looked to the needs of others and continued to minister. You know, sometimes I think one of the worst things that we can do when we get news of the death of a loved one or a friend is just to completely shut off the outside world. I think that can be really bad and detrimental. If you do that, you forget about the needs of people around you. You forget about those who still need to be ministered to. Jesus still looked to the needs of others. Do you think that would be a pretty good example to follow? He continued to minister. It says he was moved with compassion. It says in verse 14 that he healed their sick. And then it goes into verses 15 to 21 that we're not even going to look at specifically. But you know what he did? The disciples were saying, you know, we're in a secluded place here. This is where Jesus was trying to get away, but the people followed him. He said, we're in a secluded place. Now send these people away. What did Jesus say? Nah, we're going to feed them. So in verses 15 to 21, he fed 5,000 men plus women and children. 5,000 men plus women and children. So Jesus still looked to the needs of others and continued to minister. There's a pretty good likelihood, did we mention you heard bad news? It's pretty good likelihood that you're going to hear more bad news, right? Sometimes we want to go just crawl under the bed, don't we? Hello? crawl under a rock and say, you know, I just want to get away. Just leave me alone. You know, this is bad. This is more than I can handle. But our example, he's also our Savior, but our example, how did he handle it? Remember, he was 100% human as well as 100% God. He still looked to the needs of others and continued to minister. If you look even at verse 21, it says that, and when they had eaten, there were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Number two, after this, after the feeding of the 5,000 plus the women and children, what happened? Secondly, Jesus did get alone with God. He did get alone with God, and he prayed. Now, he tried once. Remember in verse 13, he tried to get away, but the crowds followed him. The multitudes followed him. But what about after he fed the 5,000? Was he able to get away? Absolutely. If you look at verse 21, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. And straightway, in verse 22, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. And it says in verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. So, when Jesus got that bad news, probably about as bad as news you can get, someone has passed, someone has died. He got that news about John the Baptist. First of all, he still looked to the needs of others and continued to minister. He actually fed the 5,000 plus women and children. Secondly, Jesus got alone with God and prayed. Now, if you think about that a little bit, Scripture right there clearly says he went to a mountain apart to pray. Now, this is God the Son talking to who? God the Father. Now, if you could have eavesdropped in on that a little bit, what do you think they might have talked about? I would think it probably was about, God's plan and about the passing of John the Baptist. And again, he's 100% man, 100% God. But he felt the need, hearing the news of the loss of a loved one, of a friend as well, he felt the need to talk to the Father in prayer. He may have. Again, he limited some of his ability as 100% God, 100% man, while he ministered on this earth. But it didn't last just a little bit, because it was evening when he sent the multitude away. And then it says there, in the fourth watch of the night, and from what I understand, that was like between 3 and 6 a.m. So several hours on the mountain, praying to God the Father, talking to him about his will, probably about the death of John the Baptist. Who knows exactly what topics they may have covered. But it's kind of almost like mind-blowing to me that when Jesus, who was God and God's Son at the same time, when he got that news, he felt a need to commune with the Father. Do you think that was helpful to Jesus? Do you think, for lack of a better term, therapeutic? Did it help the Lord to continue to minister? I'd say absolutely. The Bible says something similar to that, how we should approach things that worry us or bother us in Philippians chapter 4. A very familiar passage of Scripture, but in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry about anything. And what happens when someone dies? Of course, there's grief, and sometimes there's worry, and there's fretting. So I think this will apply to all those situations. But it says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Prayer to who?
Prayer to God.
Prayer to God. So when something bothers you, we too often want to go the wrong route. Maybe get on the phone or get texting or get on social media and let everybody know how upset we are about something. The best thing to do is to pray to the Father, right? It says everything by prayer. prayer and supplication. You say, what's the difference between prayer and supplication? Prayer is kind of the general term. Supplication is the specific term. So when something bothers you, take it to the Father. And in prayer, in a general way, but then pray specifically. And tell, you know, God is a big enough God to handle what you tell him. You know, so, well, you know, I just don't know. I wouldn't say that to God. I wouldn't say. Now, we're not supposed to shake our fist at God or point our finger at God or come to him with a bad attitude. But when we don't understand, don't you think it's okay to say, I don't think I quite get this? I mean, there's a lot of things in life. It's like what happened to your relative. I mean, some things in life you just don't understand. You're like, I don't understand. Rather than somebody trying to explain something they don't understand, sometimes we say, I just don't understand, but I do trust the Lord. I don't understand it. That's right. Just trust. Yeah. So when something like that, we hear that bad news, something bothers us, it says, but in everything by prayer, general term, supplication, be specific. What's bothering you? Thank the Lord at the same time. It says, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. So you go to God and say, God, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I love you, but what in the world's going on here? Then notice what it says will happen. And the peace of God, you know, just kind of settles over you. I've experienced that peace. I mean, we've lost several loved ones in life. Well, we lost like three of our parents just like within just a little bit. Then my sister passed a little bit after that. So it was like boom, 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 just right almost one after another. And we were, helpful in all those situations, or tried to be, to those that passed leading up to that in some way. And it was like, boy, a lot going on. But when you go to God and you say, God, this is what's bothering me. I'm coming to you. And I want to thank you for all that you've done. There's something very healing in that when you just go to God. And again, God's not put out. God is not threatened when we come to him. I know I've heard people say, well, you never question God. I don't really agree with that. If it's questioning with an attitude, yes, you should not go to God with an attitude, because he is our Heavenly Father. I didn't go to my earthly dad with an attitude. How many of y'all got that one? They're like, I'm over. So I don't go to my Heavenly Father with an attitude. But when I go to him with a simple question, like, I don't understand, God, could you help me to understand? Or even if I don't understand, can you at least show me how you're going to use this in my life? And I think that's what this is talking about. And it says, when you do that, and the peace of God. You know, the world doesn't know anything about this P-E-A-C-E, peace. They don't have that peace. They don't have that that settledness in their soul, if you will, stability in their soul. It says the peace, and it says right there, which passes all understanding. How many times have you gone through something like you and you get on the other side of it, and you're like, wow, you know, that God saw me through that. And that was tough. And you're not quite sure how you got through it. Well, that's the part that passes understanding. God saw you through it, right? So how important is it to take it to the Lord in prayer and say, God, I need you, man. I need everything. I need your strength. I need your encouragement. I need, it says, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The idea that keep, the idea in Scripture in the original language is like a guard, guarding your heart, guarding your mind, so you can get through that difficult time, whatever it might be. So don't worry about it. Take it to the Father. Be specific. Thank him for all that he's done. And when you do that, God heals our heart and our mind. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be like snapping your finger and like, oh, okay, now everything. Because things, we still miss loved ones, don't we? I mean, you think back. I think of my mom or dad sometimes, and I'm like, I still get sad. I think of my brother and my sister, and I still get a little bit sad thinking, well, I kind of miss them. You know, I'd like to see them and talk to them. And I'm sure with my mother-in-law as well. It's still a void there. But they knew Jesus. The good news is we'll see him again. But there's still a void. There's still a hurt there. But God gives you that peace to get through that difficult time, right? Y'all still with me on that? Some of you are looking perplexed. Some of y'all are agreeing, but some are looking perplexed. But God is a big God. Y'all agree with that? And he knows when the bad news comes, when the hard news comes, even the hardest of all news, as by your testimonies, and Jesus handled it in a certain way. First of all, he still looked to the needs and concerns of others and continued to minister. That's important. That really is important. You know, we would put it this way. You know what? You got to stay busy to keep your mind off of it. You know, we might put it that way. But Jesus, he looked around and said, you know, there's still an awful lot of hurting people here. I better minister to them. I better do. And Kenny, you look around Clarksburg and see all kind of people that need ministering to? So he still looked to the needs of others and continued to minister. Second, he got alone with God and prayed. And I'm sure that that gave him encouragement and healing and strength to keep on going. And number three, Jesus then went back to serving the Father. You know, after he spent time up on the mountain alone praying to the Father, talking to the Father about it, it says in verse 25, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. So the disciples are in a boat. And here comes Jesus, hours later, after communing with the Father that long, he comes walking on the water. And do you know what happened after that? They thought it was a spirit, and they got all scared. And then he said, no, he said specifically, it be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come out to thee on the water, or come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. Remember that? Jesus got out of the boat for just a little bit. Then he started to sink because he started looking at the waves. And then right after all that happened, the Lord said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? When they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. And you know what the people said, the disciples? Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And then they move on even to another area. It says, and when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out unto all that country round about, the land of Gennesaret, that is, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were perfectly made whole. Wow. You see, Jesus had a purpose, right? If we're not careful, bad news can keep us from our purpose, right? But God wants us. You know, life is difficult. I'm not one of those preachers that says, you know, life's a piece of cake. You know, it's just easy. I have never said that to my knowledge. I realize that life is tough. It has its ups. It has its downs. And some of y'all have gone through things, I'm sure, that are far more difficult than what I've gone through. But you know what? When you continue to keep in mind that God has a plan for me, and God wants me to keep going, and God wants me to keep ministering. You see, we look at Jesus as our example and our Savior, but as an example in this case, when he received the hardest news that he could receive, that a relative, a friend had died, Jesus still looked to the needs of others and continued to minister. Then when he got the opportunity, guess what he did? He got apart, alone on the mountain, prayed to the Father. And I think that peace just settled over his soul and over his ministry. He's like, okay, all right, I'm going on. And then he went right back to ministering, actually walking on the water. And he increased Peter's faith, he increased the disciples' faith, and he went to this land of Gennesaret and started healing people all over again. So I believe there's a picture in there of some things we can do when we receive that bad news. I hope you don't receive bad news anytime soon, okay? But if you do, Jesus set a really good example for us. That ultimate bad news. It might be some other bad news, even short of a death of a loved one or a friend. But how did he handle it? Well, he continued to look around and say, you know what, there's a lot of people that still need to be ministered to. And he did. And then secondly, he got alone with God and prayed. And as he talked to the Father, I'm convinced that that peace settled over Jesus and his ministry. And he said, you know what? I'm going to go on. And then thirdly, he went back to serving the Father. He said, you know what? Still got lots to do. He was so aware of what he had to do for the Father. We should be aware that God has a plan for us too. And go back and minister. So, this is one of those messages that I want you to put in your pocket. Okay? Just take it with you. Just put it in your pocket, take it with you, and when you get bad news, do your best to handle it the way Jesus did, okay? Do your best to handle it the way Jesus did. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this example of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'll help us. Lord, life is hard, and we get a lot of bad news, and probably the worst bad news that we can receive, especially when it's unexpected, and sometimes even of a young person, their early death, at least in this out of this world. Lord, help us to be like Jesus, Lord, in the way we think, in the way we act, in the way we talk, the way we reason. But Lord, even in the way that we receive bad news, Lord, help us, Lord, to continue to realize that there's, as people say, there's always people better or worse off, that is, than what we are. And help us to realize that and continue to minister to people that have needs, even in spite of the bad news we've received and the hurt that we feel. Lord, help us to get alone with you when we receive that bad news. And Lord, speak to you and talk to you and let your peace settle in our hearts and lives. And then, Lord, thirdly, as we've looked at the life of Jesus, Lord, help us to go back to serving you. And, Lord, you have a plan for us. And, Lord, help us to always be aware of that. Lord, just guide us. Help us to put this message in our pocket. Take it with us. And, Lord, when we need it, pull it out. And, Lord, do what you want us to do in all things. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.